Hi, my name's Bart. This is practice show 13. We didn't think we were going to have practice show 13, but I have failed to get with Tommy Mac and mesh our schedules properly, so we have yet to do that. So rather than do nothing, I thought I'd put me a little half-ass show together for you, kind of like the others. Start off with our... I have an anti-pee popper. Don't know if you can tell, but when I say pee popper, it doesn't go pop, pop. And I got that Tommy Mac. I think he pulled a little trick on me. He told me to go to the music store and ask for a pee popper. So when I did, they all laughed. They said, "Hey, Matt, hey, Jim, come over here and check this out." And they said, "What do you need?" And I said, "I need a pee popper." Oh, they fell on the ground laughing. Turns out it's called a popper stopper. Thanks, Tom. I'll get you for that. Okay, so parts of this radio show have anti-pee popper and part don't. So if you catch some pee popping, just figured that was something that was recorded earlier. But let's kick this show off with the usual rundown of checklist. The first thing on the checklist is, shout out Chinako. Oh, they're so very good. It gets me all lubricated. Okay, tell it, let's first thing get us some phone calls. We haven't done phone calls in a long time. What I'd like to do is get them... Once we can start doing these shows regularly, you know something else, this time meshing thing? It's real possible. If I didn't have to, Tommy Mac's got me set up so well here to where I don't have to do as much work, you know, recalibrating and renormalizing and up and down with the dBs and all that. It's possible. If I didn't have to do a bunch of this and that, we could almost do a show every day. You know, if I didn't have to put a lot of prep into it and that, if I just kind of turned the microphone on and spoke, maybe went through the newspaper and, you know, a couple of things that I'd had written, jotting down, whatever. But I could almost guarantee a show every day if we just lowered our standards that much. But for today, we got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And if me and Tommy are unable to mesh our schedules properly, we might end up with just a whole bunch of these little wacky shows. So, let's get some phone calls.
Hello, Bart. Just wanting to let you know that your website is fabulous and you're not having to be so angry, not having to worry. The Teflon of the President Bush is wearing tin and pretty soon the green flag of Islam will be over the White House. Yes, it will, Bart. So we can all rejoice and praise Allah. Thank you most much for this opportunity. Bye-bye and keep up the good work with your wonderful website. Goodbye, Bart.
Bart, Denver dude, what are you doing? Hey, I'll tell you what, I know your radio's been off, and unfortunately I haven't been subscribing to it yet, but I'll tell you one thing, the page has been a lot nicer since your attention has been focused to it. We get a little more of the ranting and the raving, which is always appreciated. Yesterday's page, you said, oh, I was very disappointed. You knocked down Chinako Blanco. Turpentine? Come on, how can the Blanco be turpentine and the Añejo is that much better? And I'll tell you, from experience, my first two bottles of tequila back since I've been off the tequila for 5 years was a bottle of Blanco, very fine, but I will add that the Añejo was excellent. But either one would suffice. Anyway, Bart, like the page here lately, things are really out of hand. These guys are out of control. Somebody's got to bring him in line. I'm liking this Wesley Clark guy for president. Hopefully he does something for us. Back to you.
Denver dude, always good to hear from you. Yes, I agree. The page suffers a little bit when we're working on the radio, but we're trying to do both. And yes, sometimes I feel more stretched than Smirk's military. But if we can successfully do both, I think that would be really good. And since my income kind of depends on the radio, I'm a little bit stuck with it, but... You know, if there was no radio, sure, the page would be a little better, I think. But the page would also be better if I just did 4 issues a week instead of the usual 6. And it would be better still if I did 2 issues a week instead of the usual 6. So, yeah, there's a bar graph there. But, you know, on the left side, there's quality. On the right side, there's output. And we're trying to strike a balance between the two. So if I can just ever get it down, it might work. Your second topic, the Chinako. To me, the silver, it just doesn't taste like it's done. I never have brewed beer, for instance, but let's say beer takes 8 hours to brew. If you wanted to try the product after 6 hours, it just seems like that would be defeating the purpose to pull it out before it was ready, and that's what the silver seems like to me. It's it's going to be the greatest taste in the world in a year and a half, 2 years, but drinking the silver now, that just seems like a nutty way to save $3-4. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Bart. This is Ann Coulter. How dare you call me a maniac? I'm no more a homicidal maniac than George Bush is an incompetent leader. It's a real shame you weren't visiting the Murrah Federal Building when that great freeper, Timothy McVeigh, carried out one of the most patriotic acts in all of American history. Die, you liberal scum, and stop calling me a homicidal maniac.
Hi, Bart. This is Matt Dogg. I'm driving behind a pickup truck with two bumper stickers. The one on the left says, Got Jesus, and the one on the right says, Got Ammo.
Yes, I see you located another one of those killers for Christ. Keep your distance, dude. Don't try to catch them. Just let them go on. Just stay out of their way. You just never know when they're going to snap and murder somebody.
Hey, Bart, when you say back in the 70s you used to do drugs, was that the temperature?
Sometimes.
Hello, Bart. This is Shirley Manson. All of my friends have told me about you, and I just wanted to call and tell you how much I loved your site. I think it's one of the best sites I've ever seen. Thanks for putting my pictures up, and I think I have a huge crush on you. Keep it up.
Bart, Clarence 20, Burlington, North Carolina. Every Democrat should buy The Big Lies by Joe Conifer. That is absolutely the best book I've ever read. Fantastic. Tell them to buy it. Thanks, Bart.
Hi, Bart. This is Matt Dogg. I'm here in San Diego, and I was at the big anti-Bush demonstration. It was cool. Lots of people telling the pinhead there what they think of him. Everybody up and down the row of people that were booing the motorcade as it went by. The SUV that was directly between the presidential limo and the crowd apparently had a big rifle sticking out the window, you know, sort of playing over the crowd in case anything had gone down. You know, that seems excessive and very indicative of the kind of state that George Bush would have you living in. So I just wanted to let you know about that. Have a good day, Bart. Keep swinging the hammer.
Well, that didn't come out too well. My introduction, I mean. What I meant to say is, I'd like to get into, if we start doing daily shows, I'd like to get into daily phone calls. Because we would like to increase the calls we get. And the only way to get more people to call in more often would be to play the calls more often. Because no sense calling in on the 10th if I'm not going to play until the 25th. So, yeah, that's what we'll attempt to do. Now let's beat up the pig boy a little bit.
Bill Clinton is all over California. And among the things that Bill Clinton is saying, remember, what have I told you? This guy cannot stop letting you know how rich he is.
Another sentence out of Russia's mouth, another dirty, filthy lie. Clinton is not walking around bragging about how much money he's making, even though he's making a damn lot and should. What Clinton's talking about is the tax cut, and everybody knows it. He says, I'm rich, I'm getting a tax cut, and they're cutting your kids off the school lunch program. That's not fair, that's not how it's supposed to work. Now, if Clinton got up there and said anything else, the dirty-ass Republicans would say things like, oh, Clinton's a millionaire, but he doesn't like to talk about it. No, he wants us to think he's one of the people. He's one of us, but he's making a gazillion dollars. So when Clinton's honest and says up front what the deal is, pig boy here scorns him for that. He hates honesty.
He is obsessed with money. He and his wife both. He can't stop talking about it.
Another lie. Everybody knows that money is just about the last thing on the Clintons' mind. They've never had any money. If they wanted to make real money, as smart and talented as Clinton is, they could each be pulling down a millionaire with no problem. But instead, he chose to do a little public service and do without the money. Unlike the vulgar pig boy who's got his $300 million and still wants more. You talk about obsessed with money. Blow me, Rush.
The former president told activists that he has become rich since leaving the White House. He uses the word.
Oh, Koresh forbid. Clinton actually used the word rich? He used the word. Oh, well, goddamn, Rush, I think they call that being honest and upfront. What the hell's wrong with using the word if it fits?
Largely based on his book contract, he said, I never had a nickel. Never had a nickel until I left the White House. Now, I know it sounds good, and a bunch of Democrats are probably going to be prone to believe this, but never had a nickel since you left the White House?
You might remember we covered this a couple days ago on the page. Some monkey mailer wrote in, about how Clinton never had a nickel, and I compared it to someone saying they were starving an hour before eating Thanksgiving dinner. You're not really starving, and Clinton didn't mean he didn't have a nickel. You know, I remember Rush teasing Clinton in the past that he never even had a house. When you don't have money, you can't put a few thousand down in a house. It's just amazing Clinton gets in trouble for telling the truth. Hell, they ought to impeach him for that, too.
You sent your daughter to private school. You sent your daughter to an expensive college.
I don't know the scoop about that. Does anyone else? Does anyone know if the Clintons paid to put Chelsea through school? Or is Chelsea, the offspring of two of the sharpest people in the country, inheritant of a sharp brain and got a scholarship?
You had a closet full of suits.
The vulgar pig boy, trying to beat up Clinton because he's got some suits in his closet. What an idiot. It'd be my guess the president gets a clothing allowance. That would kind of make sense because you can't look bad as president. Jesus, Rush, you beat up a man for having a suit. What kind of prick are you?
You had, you got a gazillion-dollar massage parlor and slush fund that you call a library.
Oh, this kind of interesting. The libraries of Reagan and Bush are clean and honest and above board. But Clinton's is a slush fund. Oh, my God, how awful. Jesus Christ, what a lying bastard he is. You just want to go punch the son of a bitch.
But you never had a nickel, Mr. President. So you got to parse what Clinton says.
Yeah, Bill Clinton telling all those dangerous lies about the suits in his closet. He didn't send 300 men to get killed in the Desert Rush. That was your boy. That was your disgusting, never-elected president that did that. The little boy that never worked a day in his entire life, who just felt entitled to the presidency, so his daddy bought it for him. Let's parse those lies. Big weapons in Iraq. Saddam gonna launch in 45 minutes. To save America, we must attack now. Yeah, why don't we go after a real lie instead of a harmless little... Hell, it wasn't even an exaggeration. It's called a phrase, you know, or a saying. Nobody in the planet, well, nobody in America doesn't have a nickel to their name. Boy, oh boy, that Beyonce can tear up a room, can't she? Every time I've seen her, she's been the highlight of the show. You know, she's been doing these award shows playing that song, and I think it was maybe hotter than the Britney Madonna kiss. Okay, back to the phones.
Hello, Mr. Bart. This is Bing Mohammed. Just wanting to tell you that your latest update to that search was just amazing, and I'm wanting to tell you that you are not having to be so angry about this blackout, because we now are seeing America's weakness. And how easy it would be to destroy this government that we are so against. I'll leave you, Mr. Bart, with a few lines from Al-Baqarah, the second surah of the most holy Quran.
Man, that is a little creepy. Is that the prayers they say before they go screw something up?
Good morning, Bart. This is Nick in Nevada. Doobie Nick on the internet. What would have taken to calling you on occasion now is America's Truth Detector. Now, why don't you start using that on your website? Maybe Pig Boy will sue you. Since O'Reilly didn't have the balls to come after you, maybe we can get Pig Boy. Another thing, happy 50th birthday, and when is the next time you're going to be in Vegas? Put it on your website if you got a plan. All right? Have a good one. Later.
Doobie Nick, thanks for that. I don't know if there's anything I could do to get Rush to sue me. If he didn't sue me over those race jokes, well, I don't know what else is left to go. And, yeah, thanks for the birthday wishes. I'm very old now. And we just got back from Vegas. I was hoping, you know, we intentionally put the Poker Fest notification, whatever, the announcements, on the members page. We knew we couldn't, if 50 people showed up, it would be really tough to play 5 tournaments, and so we just had to limit it somewhat. So we limited it to the members, and it kind of worked out great. I have a full report coming. Yeah, next time we're in Vegas, hard to say. The poker thing was such a success, pretty much everybody there wanted to do another one. And some people want to do another Vegas, but some people want to do something else like Los Angeles, something warm. We figured we'd give it a while. We can't do another one every week. There's just not enough money. The original suggestion was we were going to do another one, a Poker Fest in Chicago in January, but then the people at the Poker Fest said, dude, Chicago, January, do you have a brain? So they might have a point. Now we're thinking New Orleans, maybe Phoenix, maybe L.A. or San Diego, something like that. Jimmy H. wants us to do a San Francisco, but I don't know. San Francisco in January sounds a little tough, but we will be back to Vegas. It's my second home, and thanks for the call.
My name's Tom Hodge, and I'm from Florida, and I love your website, and my only question is, why don't you post the casualties of the Iraqis and also the English and the Australians and whoever else is over there? I think it's important that other people are dying, too. Thanks.
Tom, I agree that's good and it's important, but I'm really just, I just don't have the resources to keep up with everything. I have a little link to the Iraqi current deaths, but so every day all I have to do is click on it, get the number, and come back. There's just so much to do to put a page together. I know it looks like Mickey Mouse on a tequila jag, put it together, but it takes just a lot of work and to track down. I mean, if somebody like you were to email me every morning with the new figures, you know, that's a possibility there, but there's just so much I can't do without a lot of help.
Hey, Bart, my name is I write for the New York Daily News. I've just discovered your site. I love it. I have a question for you. We might like to write about it. Can you give me a call Thursday, preferably today? I'm in New York on 212-210, and once more it's Ben. Thanks, Bart.
Hi. My email address is Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, dot. It's all small T's. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is interesting. In one batch of phone calls, I got four calls from people saying, here is my email address. I would like to get in on the free offer for the Bart Cop Radio. And I'm confused about that. I will certainly honor all those, but I just don't remember. As you know, I do not do the page under the influence. But apparently at one time I made an offer, if you call the Bart phone, I'll give you some free membership, which I will do. I have those four names, and I'm going to write those people in and notify them. But, funny how things work. But I'll fix you guys up.
Hey, Bart. Portland, Oregon, just calling the BART phone to say howdy. Keep up the good work, and I really appreciate what you're doing in these dark times. Thanks a lot.
Hi, BART. This is D. Younger, California. I want to print up some shirts, and I want to do something about the California election. I've got some ideas. I like some of your ideas, so I'll do them for free. I just want some basic guidance if you can come up with a great idea. I've got a few, but love your website. It's awesome. Bye.
You know, I think it'd be a lot of fun just to sit around, maybe have a few drinks with a gang of people and make up good slogans for T-shirts for the governor's race. There's a lot of them, like Bush and Enron screwed California, so we're going to recall the governor. That'd be one. You could always go with the screwed democracy. I'm voting for Musclehead. Governor Gangbang is always a good one. Yeah, that's what we should have more of. People sitting around in an altered state thinking up slogans to make money. That would be cool. Have you ever heard the Frank Zappa tribute, in quotes, to Led Zeppelin from the overnight sensation album Nanook Rubs It? You mentioned the mud shark in your mythology. Don't know if you remember or if you've ever heard the story about the Led Zeppelin boys. They rented a room at the Edgewater Hotel in Seattle, and back then you could fish from your room on the balcony. And so Bonham was fishing, came up with some mud sharks. And I don't know exactly how this works, but there were some drunk groupies in the room. And how can I put this? To a degree, the mud shark and the groupies mated, much to the delight of the drunken gang. And it's become, when the VH1 does the countdown, the 100 rowdiest rock moments, that generally wins. You know, one of the top 2-3 spots. So Frank wrote a story or a song about that. And you could tell all the overuse of the echo and all that in the background. That was, I guess, a dig at Plant. And the guitar work in there, I think he was trying to do Jimmy Page, kind of extra rambling, extra non-scripted, whatever you want to call that, just kind of wild playing. Old Frank's a kidder, isn't he? So if you'd like to hear it, here it go.
I can't see. Yeah. I can't see. Yeah. Oh, with me.
like to remind everybody that for the best in internet silversmithing, go to mickraceley-silver.com. That's mickraceley-silver.com. If Mick can't do it, it can't be done. You saw what he did with that Chinoco belt buckle, and you've seen a couple more examples on the page. Give old Mick a call, or give him a click, and see if he can't fix your ad up. Thank you, Mick, our only advertiser.
Hello, and thank you for calling Tommy Mac. If you'd like to press 1, press 1 now. If you would like to press 2, press 2 now. Or if you'd like to press 3, press 3 now. Thank you.
I just heard Neil Bortz, who's one of those AM radio Nazis like Rush, heard him tell a stinking Nazi lie, so I thought I'd call him on it. A caller called in and said, oh, isn't it awful? He'd heard some news report that some grade schoolers were engaged in some oral sex, and of course that made it Clinton's fault. And Neil Bortz said, well, sure, once the president said there's nothing wrong with it, you have to expect all the kids to do it. Now, Neil Bortz, you are a lying Nazi whore. Clinton never once said that there was nothing wrong with oral sex. He said there was something wrong with cheating on his wife. He didn't say anything about let's all have oral sex because it's fun and there's nothing wrong with it. He never said that once, you lying Nazi bastard. And so Bortz and this caller went on for a while about, well, yeah, once the president does it and once the president says it's okay, you just have to expect the others to do it. Well, this current unelected moron we have, he killed probably 10,000 innocent people this year. Does that mean all the kids are going to go out now and kill 10,000 innocent people? Is that right? According to Neil Bortz and that Nazi logic, that's exactly what the president has told our children. It's okay to illegally murder 10,000 innocent people, so why don't you go out and do it just like I did? These Nazis want to play that game? Hey, I'll jump right in there with you, you lying bastards. The next time they want to take apart something that someone else said, all you got to do is insert Bush instead of Clinton and then reapply the same logic back at them, and they hate when you do that. That's what we like to do here at the old BCR.
The Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction, to cease all development of such weapons, and to stop all support for terrorist groups. The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations. It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
Here's a little thing from the Poker Fest. This is the last minute and a half, where Poker King Larry by the Sea took everybody's money. It's a minute and a half. Just get through it, okay? And then we'll beat up some pig boy.
What are you going to do? Yeah,
I'm going to do, four.
What are you doing now?
Four more.
Here come the river.
Four more.
It's four in you. What do we got?
Sixes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What a matchup. Oh,
deadly.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Hey, Larry. George Bush couldn't fuck this up. Boy, don't make that comparison, really.
God, can't move with the straight.
You can pull up.
Yeah.
Okay, that big
three.
Hug.
Yeah. Don't forget that option. Okay, let's turn them over.
Here we go. This could be it.
Guys,
go in.
Kings, classic matchup.
You got third jack?
Let's see what he's
got. What you got, Roland?
Six and jack.
Six and jack. I'm going to have a jack of red.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice playing with you, Larry.
Two winners.
Excellent.
That's what we need a picture of.
You didn't get a picture of Joel putting all the money in his pocket there.
Right.
Cool, business.
Thank you, Bart. That was excellent.
Thank you, Bart. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well done.
So what's up, Bart? What are we doing?
Disappointing would it if there were no weapons there.
We know for a fact that there are weapons there.
Remember those fires out in West Covina, California that destroyed the SUVs, the Hummers? 25-year-old man was arrested Friday. Joshua Thomas Canole of Pomona was arrested at home about 12:30 in the morning. Canole's roommate said that he was a peace activist who has protested the war in Iraq and the actions of the Bush administration. Peace activists say blowing up 20 or so Hummers, destroying them by fire.
Yes, it's true. We got crazies on both sides. Ours like to protect the environment. Yours like to murder people. That Paul Hill shot that doctor and his bodyguard in the back? That's your side, Rush. You want to talk about extremism? Our side didn't kill anybody. That's your side.
And by the way, all this means is, when they say that they live in a housing cooperative and they're trying to promote communal living, they don't have jobs, they're on welfare.
Objection. Assuming facts, not in evidence. You vulgar pig boy, how in the world do you figure that a peace activist equals unemployed? Where in the hell is the logic about that? And I'm not sure exactly what a commune is. I've never been in one, and I guess there are probably 500 different varieties, but there's nothing in the world that says people who live, and as far as living together, what's that mean, in one giant apartment house? Is there a big difference between some big house with 10 bedrooms and an apartment with 10 apartments in it? If like-minded people want to live together and recycle or do whatever they want to do, what business is that of Russia's? And Russia's decided all peace activists are unemployed. That's extremely logical thinking, Rush. Any lie you can think of, you just go ahead and say it. Don't let things like the truth and logic get in your way, Rush. You go ahead and just spew out whatever lie you can think of. Go ahead.
All right, Dick Cheney yesterday appeared on Meet the Press with Tim Russert. And among other things, he had a strong defense of the Bush administration's policies in Iraq. And he said that he did not have anything to do with Halliburton getting a post-war infrastructure rebuilding contract in Iraq. He said he actually bristled at the suggestion that his past leadership of Halliburton played a role in Halliburton being awarded the no-bid contracts.
Well, sure, just because Cheney used to be the president of Halliburton, and then when he got in a position of power, Halliburton got a bunch of no-bid contracts with a black budget that we're not allowed to know the numbers of. Now, why in the world would we think that Cheney had anything at all to do with that? I mean, how suspicious, how petty of the Democrats to even suggest that just because he was the boss there and they gave him $20 million as a going away, goodbye, loved having you kind of present, and now they end up with billions of dollars of unknown contracts that have no end to them with all the secret numbers? Oh, geez, what the hell's wrong with the suspicious Democrats? If you remember, the whole point behind investigating Monica and the alleged sex affair was that they were trying to determine if there was a pattern. There was no law against the president having sex with an intern, but they decided that what if there was something else there? They decided there could be a pattern here, so we better put $100 million in the entire press corps for a few years on the story to dig up something to see if there might be anything there, because there's always a chance there may be some sort of pattern that we might discover if we fish long enough. But now we got Halliburton making tens of billions of dollars, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars, and we don't know if that's every week or every month. There's no reason to investigate any of that. Just because that money's going into Cheney and Bush's pockets, there's no reason to investigate anything like that. No. There's no reason to look for a pattern either. No. As long as Clinton's penis is not involved, there's no crime here. It's not possible to commit a crime in Washington, D.C. without Clinton's cock. It's just a fact. Bush's bought and paid for good puppy press has decided that there cannot be any crime here, so they refused to look. Just the exact opposite of Clinton. With Clinton, they were certain there was a crime, so they had to look, and there was nothing. Here we know there are big, major crimes, 10,000 dead, 300 dead American soldiers. We got, 1,600 men with arms and legs blown off, but there's no reason to investigate any of that. No, that would be a waste of time, just like it's a waste of time to investigate 9/11 and what the president knew beforehand. That's all a waste. We only investigate Democratic sex allegations. We don't investigate BFEE crimes, global crimes that killed thousands and stole billions.
He said, since I left Halliburton to become George Bush's vice president, I've severed all my ties with the company. And as vice president, I have absolutely no influence of, involvement of, knowledge of in any way, shape, or form contracts let by the U.S. Corps of Engineers or anybody else in the federal government.
that is such bullshit, and it's just like Rush to cover for him, and it's just like Tim Russert to let Cheney get away with all that. Cheney was making millions and millions and millions of dollars a year with his 5 heart attacks down in Dallas. Now, why did he quit that cushy job to go to Washington so he could work 80-hour weeks under incredible amounts of stress? He did that because of the billions and billions he was going to steal with the BFEE. There's not another scenario on the planet that fits.
He was then asked why Halliburton didn't have to compete with other firms for the contracts. He said, I have no idea. Go ask the Corps of Engineers.
If there weren't so many dead and so many billions missing, that would be funny. Don't ask me why my employee did what I wanted. You have to go ask the employee why he did what I wanted.
Now, it's worth a little review. Let's go back to the period of time where Bush and Cheney are campaigning. The left at that time is demanding that Cheney's involved in all kinds of conflicts of interest.
Wait a minute, Rush. The left was demanding what?
The left at that time is demanding that Cheney's involved in all kinds of conflicts of interest. He's still got Halliburton ties and who knows whatever else, and they demand at that point that he get rid of everything. So he did, to try to make these people happy, put everything away in a blind trust. Now, the left's still hammering him, claiming that he's working under the table to get Halliburton all these contracts. They can't have it both ways. They can't sit there and demand that he remove himself from involvement with any of these companies and organizations with whom he did have some ties, and after he does that, they now come along and claim that he's still got ties.
But Pig Boy, if he has no more ties, why is he steering all these hundreds of billions of dollars to them without allowing other companies to bid on the contract? I'll tell you why. It's because he's getting a piece of it. He may be getting 3/4 of it. We don't know. It's all a secret. If anyone asks, we're helping Bin Laden.
And that he's still influencing things in their favor and on their behalf.
It only looks that way if you're counting the hundreds of billions of dollars he's giving them. If you don't count the hundreds of billions of dollars he's giving them, it doesn't look that way.
In fact, the Halliburton stock is not doing all that well. They've faced massive lawsuits because of asbestos.
Well, what the hell kind of company gets into the asbestos business 30 years after we prove that asbestos is a killer? What kind of idiots are these people?
There's not a big profit margin rebuilding a rock.
Poor shit. It's the most profitable thing in the entire world. They're getting hundreds of billions of dollars from the government, and we're not allowed to see where that money's going. For all we know, they're spending $1 million a month, and they're putting $100 billion in their pocket. Can anybody show me what Halliburton has done so far in Iraq? Do you see a bunch of brand new bridges? Do you see a bunch of new buildings? Do you see a bunch of hospitals go up? Did you see a bunch of water plants go in and a bunch of new electrical plants? Have you seen anything at all? Is there a nickel's worth of evidence that any money has gone into Iraq? Somebody show me. I don't know if Halliburton's in charge of water and shelter, but, you know, those poor boys over there in the 130-degree heat, they're getting 2 bottles of water a day. Thanks, Halliburton. And they say they're sleeping in ditches and all that still. Thanks, Halliburton, for fixing our boys up. We don't know that they're spending any money. They're putting hundreds of billions of dollars right in their pocket, and they have, as far as we know, absolutely no costs at all, except for the cut they're having to give into the BFEE, which is probably, what, 75%, 80%? So when the vulgar pig boy tells you they're not making a profit over in Iraq, he is a lying bastard. They are making hundreds of billions.
You know, it's not the big panacea the left would have you to believe. You know, the left wants you to believe that any time a company engages in a project, that obscene profits are present.
Well, pig boy, you got 2 big, big problems with that lie. One is when people like Enron and the oil companies get caught giving big money to the candidates, you're the first guy that says both sides take the money. So don't try to paint the Democrats as being anti-business if you're also going to say they're taking bribes to help business out. You can't have it both ways, pig boy. I will not let you have it both ways. The second problem we got is we're not talking about a company making a profit. We're talking about Cheney's company making secret profits with our cash. What the hell is wrong with you and anyone that doesn't understand that? Democrats are not anti-business. They're anti-fucking theft. We don't want to pay for Cheney's rich friends to get billions more that they don't deserve. The boys are over there dying, and the billionaires are getting richer. And Rush thinks we ought to sit still for that and let the Republicans control that. That is crazy. Bart's law number two, anytime they can make a mistake and make a profit from it, they're going to continue to make the same mistake. If the BFEE is making hundreds of billions of dollars off this war, you can bet the war will continue, the dying will continue, the bombing of innocents will continue, and it'll never end because the Republicans cannot ever have enough money. You give a Republican $50 trillion, he will steal another five because he's got to have more. That and racism are the two things that put the Republican Party together and keeps them going.
They never allow for the fact that there may be losses. They never allow for the fact that profit margins may be small.
Tell you what, Rush, why don't you go find some families who lost a boy over in Iraq and explain to them how terrible and how awful it is when your profits aren't as big as what you'd hope for over in Iraq, you son of a bitch.
They want you to think that every corporation that does anything is making obscene profits and, in essence, keeping money from the poor, keeping money from you.
Rush, you can't even go 30 seconds without telling a whole group of massive lies. Nobody gets upset if a company makes a profit. The problem with this situation is we've got boys dying almost every day over there, and there's no end in sight. And Bush and Cheney are making the big profits. The people who decide when the war will stop are the people making the biggest profit on the war. That's fucking obscene, and it should be stopped right now.
Simply stated, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. There is no doubt that he is amassing them to use against our friends, against our allies, and against us.
That's our show for today, show number 13. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for subscribing. Going to leave you with little Shirley now, so you music haters can just bail. You're not going to miss a thing. Bye.